your Bibles with me. I invite you to open to John chapter 10, if you would, please. John chapter 10, as we talk about the door. I want to say not a door, but the door. I mean the door. And the door here is going to represent the Lord. This is a parable or allegory form. One has said an allegory reveals things that are, you know, about hidden truths that we look for in allegories. And we see this in this analogy of this story. There's stories going on within a story in this story of the Good Shepherd that the Lord Himself is delivering. And so we'll learn about the sheepfold and sheep and our Lord. And the theme verse that we're focusing around, if you're able with me, stand with me. John chapter 10, verse 9 will be our theme verse. And we'll read that, have a word of prayer. I'll let you be seated. And then I'll go back and read up to this verse and a little past it after you're seated. John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd chapter. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let's pray. Father, again, fresh and anew, we offer ourselves to Thee. We ask You for help. Give us utterance, again, God, that that would be mightily used of You. We pray we'd be a vessel in Thy hand. We pray every heart, every life would receive something today from You special. Pray we look back in moments to come and we can say that heaven has spoken to us this day. Pray You set aside us as people and divinely use these moments. Pray, Lord, that we would, our lives would be under Your control in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. This chapter itself has a lot in it. I like verse 28 of this chapter. It says, and I give unto them eternal life. That eternal life is perpetual. Isn't that good to know? God's not an enduring giver. You happy about that? Eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never, not ever. I like that as well. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then I like what happened as a result of all this stuff that the Lord brought, verse 42, and many believed on Him there. That's a good result, isn't it? People got saved. People got right with the Lord as a result of Him bringing this message. Go back with me to verse 1, if you would, and follow along. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, when you see verily, verily, you can also think of truly, truly, or amen, amen. Or that's right, that's right. And so the Lord chooses to use verily, verily. I say unto you that He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him, notice, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Aren't you glad that you're not just a number? And leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That's my hope. Out of all the voices in the world, we ought to know our Lord's voice. That small, still, quiet voice that works inside of us. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. I'm going to give you the wherefore of what they didn't understand in just a moment. If you've never written it down, I encourage you to write it down. I'll try to put it out there where you can grab a hold of it. It's beneficial. You'll be thinking about it for a long time, I hope. And many times when you read through the Word of God, you come to these analogies and you come to these different things. I hope that you continue to grow and take treasures from this portion of Scripture. In verse 7 it says, then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. So He just answered the question to what they wondered. What's this all about? What are you saying? He's saying, I am the door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He is saying, you know, if anybody else, you know, He is the only door. And we'll talk about that in a moment. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. The word saved carries the idea of reached made whole, delivered, preserved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have life more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Wow. What a portion of scripture to ponder. Jesus brings this discourse in this about being the good shepherd, and there's symbolism in this that I'd like to talk to you about. You kind of have to look at this through the Eastern mind. The Eastern mind is much more familiar with these with the things that we see here. If we can have our slide, I hope you can see that okay. It's a little dark, but the reason is because it's at night. And that's a typical sheepfold. We don't know much about it. You know, and when I first came to Calvary, I thought we had a bunch of farmers here. We found out we don't have a bunch of farmers. We have more city slickers than farmers. But some have worked on farms and things. But even farmers today, they don't farm like they do back over in the Middle East and Israel. Sheep are real big, and they wander around and eat all over. To this day, you can go and you can see sheep and herds over there in Israel wandering around with shepherds taking them places. But at night, they'd have sheepfolds for they take these sheep. Especially, this would be outside of a city. Excuse me. This would be outside of a city. And, these guys are country guys. They come to the city and they, buy their supplies and get things and get ready to go back out into the country. But they'll come in and they got a fold they can go to. And they bring them into this at night. Now, there'll be a lot of different folds in one. Excuse me, losing my voice. There'll be a lot of different folds that will be brought in from different shepherds here. The shepherd comes to the gate. There's only one gate there. You see the guy there at the bottom sleeping in the gate, and he lets him in and out from that person. But in the morning, when the shepherds come, the different shepherds will come, but one shepherd will call his sheep. And the other sheep won't listen. They'll only listen if he is their shepherd. And so they don't have to go in and separate the sheep. The sheep separate themselves and come back out. That's kind of an interesting to think about when you think about the Jewish mindset. We have a lot of reference in this chapter that says that Jesus is the door. He says, "I am the door." The word door carries the idea of gateway or entrance or path to go. Now, literally, when he says, "I am," that word itself is a word that makes you listen. You know, I can't help but to think of when I see "I am," I always think in my mind, "I am that I am." And what that amounts to is this. If you say, "Where does God get his power?" Well, the power source of God is plugged into God. That's the "I am that I am." God's so big he bumps into himself through all eternity. You know, I mean, that's hard to put our little minds wrap around it. But when he says this, "I am the door," he's not just saying, "I am a door." He is saying, "I am the door." Kind of like, "I am the bread of life. I am the rock. I am," analogies where "I am the lamb," not a lamb, but the lamb, the door, the rock. And in this entrance, it's not just any shepherd, but he's saying, "I am the door." Now notice that doorway, if you can see that, and then put on your binoculars and look real close to that, but you notice there's no hinges on that door. There's literally no door. There's an opening, but there's no door. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the door. And so he is the shepherd. Now the shepherd sleeps there, guards the sheep at night. No one gets in or out. In verse 9 it says they go in and out. No one gets in or out unless they go through that door. That's why Jesus says, that we're secured. Because he's guarding the door. Hey, you can't get a better guard than that, amen? And we might be on duty, and we might be guarding that door, and you may hear, but you don't hear the Lord sleeping on us. He's a good guard. He's awake. He's alert. In this parable, these analogies, let me break this down a little bit for you. In verse 1, it talks about the porter opening the door. The porter. Well, when you think about who opened the door? Well, it was the virgin birth, you could say, or John the Baptist. You could say opened the door. John the Baptist is known as the preparer. He prepared the way for the Lord. He cleared the path, so to speak, so that the king could come to town. And John the Baptist could be part of that. But that was a porter's job. And I would say the porter would be that, or the virgin birth in this chapter. The shepherd would be, of course, Jesus says, I am not just a shepherd, but I am the good shepherd. Aren't you glad he's a good shepherd? He's not a corrupt shepherd. He's not a deceptive shepherd. He's a good, kind, good, great shepherd. And then the sheepfold in this case, the sheepfold, ready for this, would be Jewish. It'd be Judaism. And it would be the Jewish people. And now it's only referring to the Jews and those Jews as sheep. But in this chapter as well, by the way, the Jehovah False Witness used this chapter, and I'll give you the twist that they use. Verse 16, it says this, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. I'm sorry, it's not Jehovah's Witness, it's Mormons that use this chapter. See, when they say there's two folds, they say one would be Jesus and the other would be, who's head of the Mormon church? What's his name? Joseph Smith. He's the other guy that opened the door. Lie. Shame on you. But it's referring to this. It's referring to the first fold as being Jewish, Judaism. And the second fold is saying there's other sheep, that's Gentiles. How many is a Gentile? Raise your hand. And we're Gentiles. And he says there's other sheep, and we're going to make them one fold and with one shepherd. And so that's what it says there in verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. How many heard the voice? You got saved. And it says, now, that is literally a sheepfold, and a sheepfold becomes the church fold, or maybe a better way of saying it would be Christianity. Everyone that's saved becomes part of that fold. And it says, and one shepherd, I'm sorry, I read old things, it says, and other sheep I have which are of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So again, one fold, one shepherd. You know, I think about the one shepherd. You don't have to turn to this reference, but if you're taking notes, jot this down. It's 1 Timothy. I think one of the greatest, plainest verses on Jesus Christ being, again, the one shepherd, the one mediator, the only go-between between sinful man and a holy God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinful man and a holy God kisses at the cross of Christ. And in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, it says this, who will have all men to be saved. Now that tells me something. He wants everybody part of his fold. He wants everybody. He wants everybody. The door is open to everybody. It says, who will have all men to be saved and who come in the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I just think that's a great verse. It's very plain, it's pointed, it's precise, it says what it says. There's no other doors, there's no other mediator, there's only one. His name, Jesus Christ. And so, I like this chapter. It shows me a lot of things. Back in our text, which we chose verse 9 for our text, I tell you one thing about God. God's able to take huge truths, put it in a vehicle of simplicity, and deliver it. I like it when somebody can take something complex and let me understand it. And when they're able to let me understand it, they made it simple. I like that. And God's able to do that. God's able to take huge truths and bring them down to mankind, where mankind and our little puny brain can comprehend eternal truths of God. For example, I have 3 points just from this verse 9 that I'd like you to see. The first thing is this, simple. It's simple. I like that. It's simple. Well, how simple is it? Well, it says this. He says, I am the door. That's pretty simple. He takes an object that we all understand. Everybody understands the doorway. Everybody understands the entrance. No matter where you are in the world, no matter what dialect, what country, you can use that. A door. Everybody knows what a door is. He says, I am the door. I tell you, you got to be a simpleton to miss it. That he said, I am the door. There it is. That's about as base as you can get. And when I think about that, he says, you know, I'm the entrance, I'm the access, I'm the connection. And if you want in that fold, what that fold represents is that represents God's people. If you want to be in God's people, then you got to go to that door, that man right there, and you got to ask him to get into that fold. That's becoming a child of God. There's no other way in except for that. It's clear, it's concise, and it's not confusing to me at all that that's the way in through the Word of God. Man has confused it. Man has made it many different ways. For example, man wouldn't just say a door, but he'd say, you know, like I called up, we were talking to somebody the other day, and we were telling about this. I called up downtown here and checked on a church, and I wanted to know what they believed about baptism. I simply asked them this. Do you have to be baptized to go to heaven? And everybody hemmed and hawed around and took me from the secretary to the assistant pastor to the pastor, and all I wanted was a yes or no. And finally the pastor said, well, it would be hard. It would be hard. Now I just want you to know he doesn't understand the door. Because Jesus didn't say the door in baptism, he said the door. You want in that fold? You got to go to that door. What door? There's only one. There's only one person that guards it. His name is Jesus. There's no hinge. He is literally the door in this analogy or this parable. Some people would say this. Well, you know, and I thank God for the Ten Commandments. I like the Ten Commandments. They're refreshing to read. Only God, if you ever go to Washington and you see the laws that they vote on every day, I mean literally piles like this. And, of course, they're reading through those real well every day when they vote on them. Yeah, I've been in their office. I've been in the governor's office, sitting there, and they got on the clock on the wall. Don't look at the clock. Look at the clock on the wall. They have a little buzzard in there, and the buzzard means this. When the buzzard rings, you have so many seconds to get up, get out of your office, and go in there, and you vote, and you come back to your office. Now, really, on their desk, out where they vote, there's a stack of papers that high. And they're voting on these things. There's no way they're reading all that stuff. No one. This is how all these idiotic laws sometimes get passed. Well, they call it pork. But anyway, they put it in there, and they got one thing that they want passed, but when they pass that, they pass all this other stuff. But I'm just telling you that the Ten Commandments, God made it simple. I mean, when he brought Moses down, no politician was up there with him because there was no way he'd come down with just 10 commandments. There'd be a wagon train coming down out of that if it was a man. But God comes up with 10 things that are so simplistic, but they're so, boy, they're refreshing to read today, isn't it? You know, no matter where I've been, I've been in situations where people have just cheated on one another, just absolutely terrible. And I'd ask him, I'd say this. I say, do you think it's good that God says adultery is wrong? Is it good that you don't want your wife to cheat on you? How many would say yeah? Every hand goes up. I don't want her to cheat on me. That's a good law, isn't it? You want to keep it? I mean, people who have, gone against it, broke it, defiled it, they say, I'd like to keep it. I think that's a good law. Let's not get rid of that. I mean, God made it simple. Sometimes people would, you know, I think you ought to go to church. We had a good Sunday school lesson on church this morning. Amen! And I really enjoyed, you know, talking about the church of the living God that he has given. But, you know, coming to church, God didn't say, you go to church and go to the gate and you get in. God said you go through the door if you're going to get in there. It's not the Ten Commandments. It's not church attendance. It's not being a good person. I'm glad for good people, but you cannot be good enough to ever earn heaven. You need to become bad enough to realize you need forgiveness of your sin. And all kinds of things. Sometimes people will teach you have to go through confirmation, which would be through a certain amount of knowledge you'd have to acquire in order to go to heaven. Well, you do have to have a certain amount of knowledge. You have to know you're a sinner. You have to know that Jesus died for you. You have to know that he was buried and rose again, and God accepted the payment. There are some things you have to know. I agree with that. But other than that, there's not a lot of knowledge. It's pretty simple knowledge of what you need to be. What I'm saying is God's made salvation. It's complex, but yet simple to understand. He uses the analogy of a door. Also in that little verse there, it says, I am. Boy, not a lot of people there that can put themselves in that position. Jesus says, I am the door, I'm the bread, I'm the water, I'm the rock, other places, I'm the gate, I'm the ordained one, I'm the only one, I am the opportunity door, that is the door of opportunity right now. He invites all sheep in. It's only, not that there, he's not, the scope of this thing is this. And this is the next point in verse 9. It says, I am the door, by me, if any man. If any man. Now, that's a general term. Man meaning people. Man meaning human race. Man meaning any man. Any person. Whosoever will. So we have simplicity. How to get in a door. We have the scope of it. Who's invited? Everybody is invited. That means everybody. I'm glad for this. I'm glad that it's not just tall people. Aren't you glad that some short people could get in? Hey, aren't you glad that it's not just skinny people? Hey, aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad it's not just hefty people? Aren't you glad that it's not just the white? I told a black lady this. I said, it's heaven is not just. I said, what color am I? She said, white. I said, I'm not white. I'm tan. I said, that's tan. She just started laughing. And she got the idea. The idea was this. Listen, it's not black. It's not white. It's not Indian. It's not, he said, the scope of it is everyone. I mean, you can't get much simpler than that, right? So you have a simple, he said, who's invited? Any man's invited. Personally, I'm very cautious with this. I don't always do this, but I try to do this. I try to go most things to where everybody's invited. Because I don't like going where, just a little group is invited and they invite the pastor and I feel like that's just a little group. But I tell them, I say, I don't want to make anybody feel bad. You can't always have everybody over. I understand that. But I like things where I got to stick to it where I feel like everybody's invited. Because I'm not going to say, you're invited. I don't like you. And I like you better. I'm not into that. And so I just I don't care to even go that way. So I invite everybody. So usually I have something. If I have something, and you're welcome to come. If you don't want to come, it's your fault, but you're invited. And it's not that, you invited me, but you didn't wholeheartedly invite me. Oh, come on. And so I like to be inclusive. But I know, what I like is that's how God is. That's the scope of it. The scope is any man. That's pretty good. He says, I invite you all. And so we have there, we have simple, I am the door. We have the scope, any man. And go with me, if you would, please, Revelation chapter 22. I want you to see this because he's there at the door. And it's right now, it's everyone is invited. But there does seem to be a time where the Lord says, guess what? That's not always available. In the book of Revelation, you have the last book of the Bible. You have the last chapter. You have the last invitation given. It's almost the very end of the Bible. It's interesting to me. But I got the idea that all the way up to this time, that it's inclusive. The Lord's saying, come. Any man. Excuse me. I slept with the fan on all night. Right, blowing on me. I slept well, though. But I'm suffering sinuses because of it a little bit. In Revelation 22:17, it says this, and the Spirit and the Bride say what? I mean, this is the last chapter, last book of the Bible, the last call. Say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and what? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Man, oh man, you're not going to find anybody that wants you more to come. I'm telling you, he doesn't want you not to come. He wants you to come. And he's bidding us, and he's beckoning us. I heard this preacher tell this illustration, grabbed a hold of me. He told it in detail. I have to summarize it. But it amounted to that the Queen of England was taking a tour of this paper factory. And in this paper factory, they had all these dirty, filthy rags coming in England. And, I got them in the front door, dirty, filthy rags, laundry and everything. And then it goes through this chemical process. And at the backside of the plant, it's white paper coming out. You know, that's pretty much what happens. We come to this door pretty filthy, dirty. And the Bible talks about Israel refers to them in Isaiah 64:6. It says, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We come, and we're dirty, we're filthy, we're vile, and we come to this shepherd, and somehow between from the outside to the inside of this thing, we pass through the blood of Christ, and we're clean, and we come out white. That's pretty neat. Kind of like a song, I'll mess it up. Forget it. The old robe and the new robe song. I can't think of it. It's going through my mind. I can't register. But it amounts to this. It amounts to God changes us. Amen. And we put off our old robe and we put on our new robe that's wrapped in Christ's righteousness. And I close with this. We have in this verse as well, we have security of God. Because go with me back to John chapter 10. And look at our text verse. One more time there. John chapter 10, verse 9. Again, he says, I am the door. That's simple. By me, if any man, that's the scope, enter in, shall be saved. and he shall be saved. That's the security. Not hope so, but he said, shall be saved. That's the security of the believer. He said this, here's what's happening. He says, listen, outside of this fold, I'm not responsible. But you come into this fold, you're going to be saved. Saved means delivered, secured, safe. So that means this. You know what? I've become God's child. God takes care of me once I enter into that fold. It's good to know you're a king's kid, amen? That you're a sheep of the king, the good shepherd, and preserved from danger, from damnation, from destruction that takes place outside of these walls, from the evil beast and things. God builds a protection. Sometimes those walls could be up to 10 feet tall. And they'd be lined. A lot of times they line the top of them with different things, briars and different things that would cause problems if somebody or someone tried to climb up in there, trying to keep harm away from those sheep. They tried to demonstrate that. Hebrews 5:9 says this, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. John chapter 10, verse 28 says this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Go back to the text. I am the door, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And look at this. And shall go in and out and find pasture. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of the freedom that we have in Christ. You know, man today, man says this. Man thinks that being saved... Hey, we learned something this morning in Sunday school. We learned that people who go to church live longer. That is a proven statistic. You have benefited life by coming to church, statistically speaking. But you know, when you think about this, go in and out. You know what that speaks of? That speaks of freedom. And sin binds. Christ frees us. And you know, we're free people. The Bible talks about, I think it's 1 Peter talks about the liberty of Christ. People take the liberty and turn it into liberty to sin. But when you get saved, you have liberty not to sin. You no longer have to be underneath the devil's dominion, his control, his hands, You don't have to be a puppet. That is freedom to go in and out. There's freedom in Christ. He sets us free from sin. I'll just tell you, it's a good thing to be one of His sheep. And if there's any doubt this morning where you'd spend eternity, that door, that sheepfold, that thing is open. But we read in the book of Revelation, there's coming a day where that thing's going to close. It's open and scope is to everyone. And it's not on a limit, but someday it's closed and you're not going to get in. You know, even sadder than that, you won't even want in. That's sad. That's sad. And if God's knocking on your door today, that's pretty vital. That's pretty important. If there's some doubt where you're going to spend eternity, I'm telling you that the time's going to come where you're going to wish you were part of His fold. I guarantee you that. And when that trumpet blows, things are going to change here on this earth as we know it today. And I trust and pray that you know that you're in there. You know, I'm in there. I'd probably be one of the black sheep if God didn't change us in there. Amen. But I'm in there running around. I know you just have a few sheep in there, but everybody's saved. You're in there. Isn't it good to know that? And you don't have to run around not being a sheep. Hey, by the way, if you're not a sheep, you're a what? Goat. You're a goat, you old goat. You ought to get saved and become a sheep. Become a child of God. And, I don't know how many times you get an opportunity, but I believe salvation in John chapter 10 is pretty clear. I think you'd have a hard time missing it. There's enough ammo in there. If you read through that, God will keep giving you something out of that chapter to where you can understand how to be saved. I like the way that I like the way that John chapter 10 closes. Somebody want to read it? I think it's around verse 42. Somebody read that. I mean, I like the way it closes. I hope that this would be your life today. What's it say? And many believed on Him there. Isn't that a good way to close it all? Amen. Boy, you know, if I died, I hope that you're able to come by and say, well, you know, say one thing. He believed in the Lord. Isn't that a good thing to be able to say? You know, and God work all the things out from that. But I hope that there's no doubt where you'd spend eternity in your life today. And if there is, we're here to help you today. We want to be a blessing.